We now take you to the Air Canada Centre for an exclusive look at the Auston Matthews 100th Game Milestone Ceremony. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, Brendan Shanahan.
Auston, I can't believe you've made it here. 100 games with us. I drafted you, I tanked for you, and you've made it to a 100 games. And for that, we are going to give you a silver stick and a golden puck. And I can see on the horizon that you're at 38 career assists. On your 40th career assist, oh, you're going to get an even bigger prize. We love you, Auston. God damn it, we love you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of Toronto, John Tory.
Now, Auston, 100 games is quite an accomplishment, and boy, does this city love you. The whole city loves you. In fact, we love you so much that we are going to give you a key to the city so you, young man, can go anywhere you want, any time of the day, any time of the night in this wonderful city of Toronto. Any strip joint, any underground poker club, anywhere you want. Burger King, McDonald's, Subway, anywhere you want.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau.
All of Canada has a deep connection, career inspired, and rise to many, many dreams in many, many Canadians of what could be and what might be, showcase the best of what Canadians like to think of themselves as.
Probably the happiest day of your life. You're probably still pantless from running around pantless yesterday because of the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-0 drubbing of the Montreal Canadiens. Am I right in that fact? Pantless?
Do you hear the sound? Do you hear the sound right here? That's the sound of me drinking yesterday's champagne. Woo! Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but a small part of me felt several years into the future when a team is at a certain point and you say to yourself, that was the turning point. Is that too much? Is that hyperbole? Did I just bluster my way into your eardrums?
Well, you're very well known for your bluster and hyperbole.
Infamous.
I think I actually felt worst last night, which does make sense, because I was at a wedding and I didn't manage to catch the game live, but I did manage to intermittently check my phone. And I checked it. It was 0-0 after the first. Checked it again, still 0-0. Then I checked it, and it was 2-0. And I was thinking, okay, it's not looking that great. And then I checked it one more time, and it was 6-0. And, you know, it was a celebratory occasion, of course, with a wedding, so it really didn't bother me. But later, thinking it was a 6-0 drubbing, and kind of hearing all the feedback from Leafs fans and the text messages on my phone, it really puts me in a sour mood. But I did today go back and watch the entire game, and I'm not that bothered as I was last night, because I mean, I did watch the game completely beginning to end, knowing the result, thinking it would be more of a blowout. But Montreal was okay, especially in the first. They were okay for the first half of the game. It's just that they're, as the word is going around, fragile. And once they were down 2-0, you knew they weren't going to come back. And then it was just like some quick goals. Then Auston Matthews scoring garbage goals and then smiling smugly at the fans for scoring a garbage goal. You know,
amazing.
That's what leaders do. That's what future leaders of industry do.
The nuanced details of
future,
your summation.
Future.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
What I think is really sad, and this is something that you weren't able to appreciate as it was happening in real time on Twitter, was how many people were just giving up very early in this game. I mean, I knew even when they were down by a couple of goals that they came to play. The team looked ready. Seriously, the Montreal Canadiens were ready from the moment the puck dropped last night. Julian did at least a good job of preparing them for the Maple Leafs. Wouldn't you say, though, that it was Mike Babcock who was the equalizer? Because he coached a ridiculous game. He first started with these weird line variations that made everybody abuzz on Twitter. Martin with Matthews and Marner, which sounds so ludicrous, but somehow it worked for him. It always does for the Untouchable One, doesn't it, these days?
I think that's more to do with Marner and Matthews and zero to do with Martin.
So, good old Martin getting 0% credit. 0% poor Matty.
Poor Matty. Being a nothing player. But anyway.
Weasel enforcer.
Yeah, I mean, Montreal did come out to play. They didn't let in a goal within the first 5 minutes, so that was very encouraging. But again, their inability to score is so profound and so obvious that I don't know how it can be fixed, because their defense needs help too. So you can't trade offense for defense, and you can't trade what little defense they have for any offensive help. So it's a terrible, terrible spiral of doom that they're heading into.
It is, with a big, glaring white spotlight. I mean, at home in Montreal, you've got the CBC Hockey Night in Canada panning over to Bergevin every goal the Leafs score. And when they scored 2 in 37 seconds, it got really surreal because I thought it was stock footage. He literally did the same thing. He looked up at the scoreboard. He said something, that, you know, an expletive, and then he just sauntered away from the camera eye. And I felt for him at that point, because I thought to myself, you know, his team is competing. It's just nothing is going right. Goals aren't being scored. And players are starting to look slow. And Weber in the third period especially, I think, made a lot of people say, what's going to happen next? I mean, he just looked... Maybe it was, I think, the result of being in a blowout game, but he looked like he was single-handedly trying to change the game himself and playing out of his, you know, safety zone.
Yeah, maybe it was because he took a nice cheap shot from Nazem Kadri as well.
Oh, I know you were so angry when that happened, because that's a guarantee from a Leafs player whose dad still wears the Habs sweater that he's going to do something to completely thwart the momentum of the game. He almost did it again. He almost caught him in the head. And then, of course, we all know what ensued.
Yeah.
Post-whistle goodness.
And I guess, I mean, it's so easy to be negative because there is a lot of negative things being associated right now with the Montreal Canadiens. But I mean, one of the positives was the reason why Kadri was upset was because Pacioretty hit him. And it was good that Max Pacioretty actually threw his weight around a bit. He hit Kadri just before Kadri got angry and then retaliated against Weber. And then also Pacioretty nailed Borgman in the first period as well. So Pacioretty's got to bring a little bit more to the table, and that's what fans are wanting him to do. If he can't score at the moment, at least he's doing something, instead of just lollygagging around and not being involved. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a positive to look for from Montreal's viewpoint. But, you know, Gallagher fighting.
Yikes. Zaitsev fighting, his first NHL fight. That was also surreal.
That was a mistake on Zaitsev's part, as he got his butt handed to him by the much smaller, much lighter Paul Byron.
Who fought him like he was blessed by the hockey gods. I mean, he was throwing howitzers, and Zaitsev was the, you know, evil Russian caricature that you don't see anymore in Montreal, because you don't have Russian players left to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of negative flack on Twitter for that reason alone. Everyone's saying, where's Radulov for scoring? Why don't we have Markov? Things like that. When is that going to stop, I wonder? Because it's really unfair. How's the team supposed to move forward if everyone's going to anchor this kind of... you know, blame on them for decisions made? What about current decisions that could maybe improve the team? Or are they beyond that? Are they really a lost cause in your eyes, given what you've seen up until this point, quarter mark of the season?
Well, I said it was done after 8 games this year. But
we have that on tape, don't we?
Yeah. And I also wrote about it. But the big date is U.S. Thanksgiving. And if you're not in a playoff spot by then, the odds of being in a playoff spot at the end of the season are very, very low. So next week is it's big, but they're playing Dallas, Nashville, and Buffalo all on the road. And I mean, you never know. I mean, they went 0-3 this week at home, so maybe the road will bring a different story, but I don't know. I think it's a lost cause, to be honest. I think you're asking, you know, what can they do? And as I said earlier, you can't. What can you do? How do you get offense? I mean, you can't start trading draft picks, or can you? Because Montreal's draft picks never really pan out that much anyway. But there's got to come a point to where they've got to make a decision on what direction they want to take this team in. And I just don't see how they can turn things around. And yes, Carey Price is injured, but before he was injured, he was playing poorly as well. So it's I'm already hearing some people saying, well, Price wasn't in net. Well, when Price was in net, they were doing poorly as well. So that's...
Yeah.
I mean, yes, if he comes back to what he is supposed to be, then yeah, that'll go a long way. But Charlie Lindgren was playing well as well, and things were going swimmingly for a little bit. But it just... You can't ask for more for more from Charlie Lindgren.
Oh, such sweet and sultry hockey gods, to put together the sad poetic irony in having the Arizona Coyotes coming to visit the Toronto Maple Leafs during the 100th game celebration of the mercurial and young Austin Matthews' prodigal son, that franchise is only looking at in the distance and thinking, what could have been, what should be. Don't fool yourself. There's a reason why there's been a lot of murmur in the city as to whether or not Austin Matthews is someone that should be traded, or that Austin Matthews is a player that the Leafs can do without. But the truth is, notwithstanding all that clickbait contrarianism and all those, you know, sad sack hack journalists who call themselves reputable, is an undeniable truth. Austin Matthews is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Toronto Maple Leafs will be Austin Matthews for as long as he chooses to be a member of this organization. They can ill afford to look past an adversary this evening that represents all the things that could have been an alternate universe, and should be really thankful that after putting together a 6-game winning streak and demonstrating to everyone in the league that they can go consistently and win on the road, don't lose sight of what this game means tonight. Be ready, be prepared, and above all else, celebrate the life and times of Austin Matthews, the Chosen One. Friends with Mike Babcock, the Untouchable One.
I'm going to try to be positive here because it's really hard to be positive when you're talking about the Montreal Canadiens in the current state that they're in. Carey Price is injured. Carey Price is coming back, so that's a positive. He's traveling with the team, so being back into the lineup is just over the horizon. He's very, very close to returning. Brendan Gallagher showed a lot of gumption in the weekend loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Paul Byron showed a lot of gumption as well as he beat up Zaitsev. What else was good? Pacioretty threw a couple of hits. He was involved. No, he didn't score, but at least he was doing something. And yes, one of those hits was very questionable on Kadri. But still, you want to see that from your captain. You want to see something from Max Pacioretty. And I think we saw something. Other good news. David Schlemko has traveled with the team. That's how far we have fallen for the Montreal Canadiens, that the arrival of David Schlemko is providing hope for the Montreal Canadiens. Listen, I'm trying to be positive, and I'm sure he's a very, very good person, and he's got some skill, and apparently he can move the puck, and is a left-handed puck-moving defenseman. But let's be honest, he was claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights in the expansion draft. How good and how valuable can this guy be? What has Marc Bergevin done to this team? I gotta stay positive. Must stay positive.
Omar White joins Habs fan versus Leafs fan, and let's get down to brass tacks, Omar. What the heck happened last night, and do you think that there was a lot more than meets the eye in that 6-0 whitewashing, or was that really what it just was, getting spanked and having to face some kind of reckoning?
I honestly, man, like, I feel so bad for Claude Julien, and in some ways, and I know a lot of people might get pissed off at me for this, a lot of ways Marc Bergevin as well, because, you know, they lose that game against Arizona, a game that they absolutely in no way, shape, or form in any galaxy, any universe should have lost, and they did it. And you can tell based on Julien's comments after the game how upset, how frustrated he was. I think he said repeatedly that they didn't respect their game plan, and quite frankly, they didn't respect the opponent. And it makes sense not to, because, you know, like at that point they didn't have a regulation win, so it's easy to kind of walk in and be like, oh, it's Arizona, we're gonna spank these guys. I think the Habs are up 2-0 at the end of the first period, so it makes sense they're gonna win. And then they just crumble defensively. They take stupid penalties. They make bad decisions. You know. Lindgren allowed like his first, I guess, quote unquote, bad goal of the season with that shot from Richardson on the point. But besides that, you know, if he's not playing as well as he did for the rest of the game, that's a 10-3 game, honestly. And then, you know, the end of the game, more frustration. And then going ahead to the Leafs game, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, determination to bounce back from what they did on Thursday. And Julian said, pride is on the line. You know, we want to show that, you know, we're a better team than this. And the beginning of the game, they were the better team. They were fast. They were cycling the puck. They were winning puck battles. They were covering their spots. They're creating chances off of turnovers. You know, Victor Mete made an absolute amazing play on Mitch Marner's turnover. Joseph Morrow actually had a couple good defensive plays, especially on Austin Matthews. Matthews could have scored twice in the first period. You know, but the Habs, you know, they blocked a couple passes and stuff like that, and they were very reliable. Julian actually did. Julian actually kind of had a couple set lines, and I tweeted out that it was kind of a chess match because, you know, he had on the first line Drouin, Pacioretty, and Galchenyuk. Then he had his checking line of Plekanec, Hudon, and Gallagher that was going right against Matthews and stuff. And it was a very, very fun game. And if it's not for Anderson again playing well, you know, the Habs are probably up a couple goals. And then they just crumble. They just it's like they just gave up. Turnover after turnover after turnover, you know, winning faceoffs, but then not being able to clear the puck out of the zone, turnovers in the neutral zone, turnovers on the offensive zone, and then just and even looking at some of the shot maps, just all these shots and chances from the slot right in front of the net, you know, and it's not giving. You know, just not like, and I guess not giving your goaltender like a chance or anything, or, you know, an opportunity to make the save. And, you know, Lindgren again, you know, he did all that he could. He did all that he could. And you know what? He can't, you know, change, take off his gear, skate down to the ice and score a goal and go on his own, right? So it's just, and then now you talk to the players again at the end of the game. Olsner doesn't want to talk. Weber doesn't want to talk. Buchanan doesn't want to talk. Your quote-unquote leadership group. Pacioretty has to, again, like, take everything, take all the heat, take the ridiculous questions, the ridiculous statements, and then say, like, oh, you know, it's unacceptable. But he already said it was unacceptable.
Yeah.
So at this point, what do you do? And you're already past the 2020 game mark. U.S. Thanksgiving is this upcoming Thursday. The it's too early excuse is long gone. And I'm really starting to think that this is the team. And the only way that there can be some kind of change is Bergevin has to make a move. And I understand that you don't want to, you know, make the desperation move or use the cap space when you don't need to. But at this point, man, the players you have on the team are not getting it done. And it's not because – and in some instances, you can say it's because of the individual players. But as a group, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it right. I think off air, are you and I and Kamal in this little group chat we have? I made a comparison. It kind of is starting to look like the Habs right now or what the Leafs were a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
where you have management selling false hope. Bergevin saying that I think the defense corps is better than last year. Give me a break. Give me an absolute break. There's no way you can justify that. All these moves. Radulov, you plan to have Radulov come back. Yes, sure, you did all you can, but he's not there. Markov, he's not there. So you can't say that the defense of the team itself is better. There is no actual upgrade. They're just replacements. You know what I mean? You can argue, even though they're playing different positions, you can say that Drouin is just a replacement for Radulov, because Radulov was a dynamic force on that team and was a direct result to a lot of the offense on the team. So I don't know. The only thing you can do is look at the next game and shrug. I think they're off for a couple of days, and they play Dallas and Nashville in a back-to-back situation. So, you know, Niemi's going to get one of those starts. And you can't honestly be confident in what's going to happen. You know, mind you, they could pull at Pittsburgh, you know, and then, you know, win a whole bunch of games to make the playoffs and go deep. But, you know, for now, you know, it's really tough to say that you can – you know, believe in anything that's going on.
Our next guest on this episode is a contributor with FanSided and a writer for one of the most popular Toronto Maple Leaf sites in the city, editor in Leaf, Josh Tesler, is on HVL. Josh, thanks for joining me.
And thank you guys so much for having me on.
We all know that Shea Weber was acquired in what will go down in history, in Montreal Canadiens history, as one of the more controversial, highlighted trades of their history. The whole idea of Shea Weber was to create stability and create a win-now reality for the team. After what you've seen in the first 21 games of the season, it's hard to believe that you're basically suggesting that at this stage they're better off trading him to get value to rebuild than keeping him and watching the ship continue to sink.
Yeah. If they didn't do that trade with Tampa, in June or July, this would be a much different conversation because, I think the presence of Sergachev, would definitely have been much better for the Habs. You know, with a lack of top four defense, they really have no choice now. And from a Habs depth perspective, if you move past the top six guys that they have, and if you look to their prospects, Noah Juulsen comes to mind. But after Juulsen, I don't really think they have a much captivating, defensive prospect. And so they really need to build up their farm system. And so, I think it just makes the most sense to move Shea Weber and Pacioretty. I gotta be blunt. Moving Carey Price, not going to be easy. You see the cap hit for the next five to six years. I think the cap hit right now is $6 million, and then it goes up to 10 for the next 4 or 5 years. Not many teams in the league that are going to want to pay that. So the Habs most likely are going to have to buy him out some, in order for some teams to try to make the trigger for Carey Price.
Speaking with Josh Tesler from Editor and Leaf. So Josh, knowing that this team can win without Austin Matthews, and of course there was some murmuring in the mainstream media as to whether or not Austin Matthews really is the straw that stirs the Maple Leafs drink, is it safe to say after what you witnessed yesterday that he is in fact the catalyst to all of their success this year?
I would say that, the games that they played against Boston and Jersey without him, they just didn't look the same. I think just like the presence of him in that lineup and that voice, really helps.
You've been listening to Josh Tesler from Editor and Leaf. Thanks for dropping by to visit us on Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan. Hope to have you back soon.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for having me on.
Next, dropping in to visit with Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan on this crazy episode of Thoughts and Streams of Consciousness is none other than our friend of the show, Baltimore, Dave Stevenson, the site expert for Puck Pros. Dave, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well, Dave. Doing well. As you can imagine, there's no shortage of things to talk about. I want to start by asking you a point-blank question. What were your honest impressions about what happened in Montreal between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens?
Well, I was expecting a really emotional game, and I guess in some ways it was. But I certainly wasn't expecting the Maple Leafs to come out firing and just beat them by such a dominant 6-0 score. Yeah. I mean, getting Matthews back obviously helped out a lot, even if he did only score the 2 goals in the third period. But, you just saw a much more competent Leafs team, which is one that we haven't really seen so much against the Canadiens.
Well, and you spend a great deal of time writing about both teams, Dave, so none of what they're doing should necessarily surprise you in how they're trending. Do we look at last night's result and say to ourselves that things are just going to keep getting worse for the Habs and better for the Leafs, or do you see something changing, something maybe a push coming to shove where a front office decides to take a big step forward and maybe change the complexion of how either team looks right now?
Well, I always think Mark Bergevin is about to be fired, but he's like a cat, he has 9 lives. I'm not sure when he's going to get fired. I probably won't believe he's going to get fired until he gets fired. It's been proven he has multiple lives, keeps on evading, getting out of these situations, so who knows? But this one's going to be mighty hard for him if the Habs don't start improving quickly.
So give me your perspective moving forward on what you see happening to both first the Toronto Maple Leafs and then the Montreal Canadiens over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think one thing to keep an eye on for the Maple Leafs is consistently just look at that defense. I think it's a given they're going to upgrade their blue line at the trade deadline in some way, shape, or form. The question is, how big of an upgrade do they need? Do they need to go out and just get, like, you know, maybe a extra third-pairing guy to even out that third pairing, or do they need to go out there and get a guy like maybe John Carlson of the Washington Capitals who can be a top-pairing or second-pairing guy?
It certainly seems so. There's no question that both teams have key UFAs coming up that they'll have to address. The Leafs with James Van Riemsdyk, and obviously the Habs with Plekanec. Does that mean you see a rebuild happen? Because you and I both know there aren't many players on the Habs that could bring back the kind of value that the fans would expect outside of Carey Price or maybe somebody like a Max Pacioretty.
Yeah, I kind of do see them rebuilding, or at least I think they really should consider it. And I don't even know, honestly, what kind of return Carey Price would get you at this point, because he hasn't been the same since that 2015 knee injury. So
I think that
would probably create a lot of question marks for any team that will be interested in him.